From NPR News, this is News in No Time, Tony Cox. Last year, the suicide rate among soldiers reached its highest rate in three decades. This January alone, 24 soldiers took their own lives. That's more than the total number of combat casualties for that same time period. Will these startling numbers keep the spotlight on the mental health needs of our servicemen and women? And what are the cultural challenges of psychological counseling in the armed forces and among returning veterans? Joining us now are Steve Yeshin. He is a former Marine who served in the first month of the Iraq War, and Professor Jose Cole. He is a former Marine as well, and he heads up the Military Social Work and Veterans Program at the University of Southern California. Jose, Steve, welcome to News and Notes.
Thank you.
Jose, let me begin with you. Why do you think these soldiers are taking their lives, and is there a common thread to their stories?
You know, Steve, the common thread that we're finding among the soldiers who are committing suicide, unfortunately, is age. Many of them are between the ages of 18 and 24. Now, to be able to predict why they're committing suicide is much harder. And one of the things that we're looking at is, and specifically the VA and the Department of Defense is looking at, is not only age, but difficulties with their marriage, concerns coming back home, and, of course, the multiple deployments. We're asking these young men and women to do more than one deployment, which is really unheard of in many of our previous conflicts.
Does it matter whether or not they are coming back from frontline duty?
It doesn't. Actually, what's been really interesting is that we've had quite a few individuals committing suicide, unfortunately, who have not seen combat, who are actually either in support units, and the Army has seen an increase in suicide among soldiers who've never been deployed.
Really? Are they talking at all about committing suicide before they actually do it?
That's a very difficult one. That's one of the things that we're trying to reach out to a lot of young men and women in the armed forces to try to minimize the stigma and to reach out to their NCOs and their officers in the mental health profession within the military and outside the military. A lot of them don't feel comfortable reaching out to the military mental health sector. So one of the things that we're trying to do is really teach them how to reach out to the community sectors and to their family members.
Before I bring Steve into the conversation, I have one more thing for you, Jose. It's this. Is that because there is a sense that there is a weakness associated with any kind of mental issues when you're in the military?
That's one of the issues. I mean, we train to fight, and we train to be tough. And it's very difficult then to switch that mental training capacity and teach them that it's okay to actually feel vulnerable and to be able to reach out for help.
Steve, you served in Iraq during the first 7 months of that conflict. Let's talk, first of all, thank you for coming on. Tell us and share with the audience some of the struggles that you and some of your fellow servicemen and women have had in transitioning back home.
Well, for me, it was coming back to Southern California in particular. Southern California and L.A., it's kind of a hub in the anti-war sentiment. You know, a lot of the organizations who are, you know, very political and active against the war, headquarter themselves here. So trying to get an education and get back onto a school campus and, you know, just kind of – I wanted to fly below the radar, not really stand out. But everywhere I went, I felt like, you know, these issues that I kind of wanted to ignore and put in the back of my head would be brought forth by – you know, self-proclaimed experts, people who thought they knew everything about foreign policy and what's going on overseas when really they have no experience at all.
Well, that sounds like a sort of a socio-political kind of a problem to face as a person coming back and who was there and listening to people talk about what was going on who had never been there, never been in the military. Were there other issues that were more personal that you had to deal with also?
I mean, I can only speak about my experiences, and I was fortunate to come back to a really good support system. I have two loving and understanding parents. My mom is a therapist, which was kind of a gift and a curse because, you know, you don't want to be diagnosed by your own mother. But no, for me, mostly it was just, trying to keep to myself and but before I could start talking to people and you know, sharing my experiences, I wanted to get myself, my personal things back in order and, you know, just become adjusted. And everyone wants to know what's going on, and everyone has questions and opinions. And there was just really no way to hide from any of that. That was the biggest thing for me.
What about in your personal relationships with your friends that you had before you went to Iraq and your more intimate relationships. How were they impacted?
Absolutely. I mean, it's hard to justify a lot of the things you do when you come back, having experienced what you had just experienced in combat. I remember in particular one Sunday I was sitting on the beach in Malibu, and my friends were complaining about their dry cleaning not being ready in time to go out that night. And I'm sitting there, and I'm rubbing my feet around in the sand, and I'm thinking about, you know, my brothers overseas who their feet are in the sand too. And, you know, if they would hear this conversation, you know, complaining about dry cleaning not being ready, as like that's the topic of the day, that's what's really important, it would make them sick. And it made me sick. And it was really, and still is kind of hard to relate to a lot of the people who were in my lives before I went over, because there's just this gap now where, you know, certain things that were once meaningful to me are really meaningless now, and things that are really meaningful to me are meaningless to the people who surround me.
Now, one more thing before I go back to Jose. When you are here, how long have you been back now?
I came back from the war in 2003. I got out of the Marines in early 2005.
All right. Did you have, when you came back, difficult time, I don't know, sleeping, a difficult time communicating, a difficult time sort of adjusting to who you are, Steve, the person, and what is important to you and what your values are based on what you experienced in Iraq?
Oh, absolutely, yes. I mean, I pretty much had two emotions, happiness and anger, and there was really no gray area in between. You know, I was either content at the moment or I was very angry. Sleeping, it's not as much of a problem anymore, but it was pretty difficult, especially since I had come back from 7 months of virtually no sleep, you know, maybe an hour a night. Most sleep was during the day for 15 minutes here, 20 minutes there. One morning in particular, my father came in and flipped on the lights, and I jumped out of bed and almost tackled him. Just, you know, certain things startle you. You know, a car backfiring as well. You know, bright lights, loud noises. It wasn't just trying to sleep, but yeah, anything that would really stimulate a lot of the experiences.
So why? Let me ask you then, Jose. Why would we have, if you know, a spike in suicides here in January? What is occurring in the universe that would make this happen, or is it just a coincidence?
I think a lot of it has to do with coincidence. I really don't think that the spike has to do anything with the change in administration or the climate. Now, I do really believe that there could be a spike because of our economic difficulties that we're having in the nation. And a lot of young men and women like Steve are coming back and realizing that maybe the employment that they had previously before going into the military doesn't exist any longer, mostly for our Reserve and National Guard deployment units who are being deployed and coming back. And maybe that stability of employment doesn't exist any longer.
We have talked a lot on this program about the increased recruitment efforts on the part of the military, and yet we don't get in that conversation some of the dangers that people like Steve and others encounter when they come home. Is the military doing all that it could and should in terms of the support for these soldiers?
Well, what we have to remember is that when the individual goes into the service, they're part of the Department of Defense. Once he receives his DD-214, he becomes part of the Department of Veteran Affairs. So really when we're looking at service providers and services when they're coming back home, once they are discharged, honorably discharged from the military, it really falls into the Department of Veterans Affairs and the vet centers and community agencies. And kind of if you look at Stephen, he was mentioning he was trying to do that transition back into education. One of the things that we're really focusing on with this military social work concentration at USC is to provide those kind of skills to healthcare providers and educators to understand that Steve looks like a traditional age student who's never been overseas yet. He has a lot of experience behind him, and we need to help him make that transition.
Steve, I'm going to ask you this. You don't have to answer if you don't want to.
I love when something's prefaced with that.
Did you ever consider suicide yourself?
Before, I mean, I'm a business owner now, and so I would say that nothing, well, that was going to be a sick joke. The answer is no. The answer is no. Suicide's not an option for me. I have a couple of my friends have committed suicide that I served with overseas. A few more are lost on drugs, which I think is virtually the same thing because the Marines that I know don't exist anymore.
Did you know that it was coming for those friends who committed suicide?
You know what? The first one was a big shocker. One wasn't too surprised. I never would have guessed it with either one of the gentlemen, but one was very surprising, and the other one was a little bit less surprising, but I never saw any of it coming.
Did either of them have the kind of support that you had from your family?
Absolutely not. But I think most Marines who come back from combat, or at least the Marines that I served with, don't come back to nearly anything comparable to the support system that I had.
The time is really short, Jose, but I'm curious as to whether or not there is a racial or gender component to who is committing suicide now.
There isn't, although we do see more females attempting suicide, but yet more males are actually committing and completing suicide.
And what about racially?
And racially, we haven't seen really a spike within African Americans or Hispanics or Native Americans. It continues to be predominantly Caucasian males.
Last thing, what do you expect going forward?
What I expect is really what the Department of Defense has really put out an effort, and the VA, is to do more training, provide more training for the lower non-commissioned officers to be able to detect some of these signs and symptoms.
Well, gentlemen, thank you both for coming on. Steve, thank you for going, and thank you for coming back.
Thank you for having me.
We appreciate it. That was Steve Yeshin. He is a former Marine who served in the first months of the Iraq War. And Professor Jose Cole, he heads up the Military Social Work and Veterans Program at the University of Southern California, which will be launched in the fall of 2009. They both joined me here in the studios of NPR West.